You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How about that? How about that? The most annoying, this is like the tantric sex of basketball. You get to a point, you're like, oh, it's about to happen, and then it comes back down. And it gets back up, and it comes back down. And the Miami Heat fall in game four, 108-95 to the Denver Nuggets. On paper, if I had told you, oh, Jokic is going to be in foul trouble, and he's not going to have a bunch of assists, and Jamal Murray's going to shoot terribly, you'd say, wow, great, let's do it. I take that. And instead, the Heat were buried under a barrage of threes from the likes of Bruce Brown and Aaron Gordon and Jeff Green. And right now, we're standing several feet away from the Jokic brothers and a huge group of Denver Nuggets fans who are loud and happy. Charlotte, this kind of felt like a funeral tonight.
This is wild. The Jokic brothers are greeting people, kissing babies, taking selfies. They're having the time of their life. Denver Nuggets fans really showed out for this. Yeah. There are more of them than I realized. And Tom, the smiley face guy that you saw,
yes,
right behind where we are right now. And I took a picture and I will send it to you.
So this person is apparently a huge YouTube sensation that I'm way too old. I have kids. I have gray hairs on my chinny chin chin. I don't know who this person is, but I took a picture of Jokic at the scorer's table with this person that had a mask on that looked like a smiley face. I had no idea who this person was, and apparently I am old. That's what I've learned.
Juju guessed that it was Brad Pitt, and the guy said yes. So
yeah.
I thought the Heat really struggled getting easy baskets. Like, everything was hard work. Thought Denver's defense tonight was probably the best defense they played all season long. The Heat had a lot of uncharacteristic poor execution plays, lots of turnovers. They turned it over 14 times, which doesn't sound like a lot, but because the game was so slow, that is actually a large percentage. The Heat's possessions.
Yeah, again, the Miami Heat did not capitalize on the biggest gift they could have gotten in this game, which is Nikola Jokic was given five fouls, the fifth foul on Scott Foster, calling the foul with a little bit of an embellishment from Bam Adebayo to get that the fifth foul call with about 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Heat could not capitalize. That's the game right there. We could talk all we want about Bruce Brown and the way he was able to score and take over the game late. But really what it was the Miami Heat were not able to get good shots, yep, high efficient shots at the rim when Jokic was out of the game and the Nuggets were forced to go small and they could not capitalize. So when we talk about what the Heat did not do tonight, it all starts with when Nikola Jokic, for the entire season, for the last three seasons in the NBA, every time Jokic went to the floor, went to the bench, the Nuggets were just get blown out on the floor. And the Miami Heat could not do it in game four. And that really is the biggest problem for the Heat, is that they were not able to capitalize for whatever reason.
Watching the game next to Amin, every time Bam would take another mid-range jumper, and then when he would go to the rim, Amin would be like, do it every time.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating to watch.
There was three plays in the first half where all of a sudden he just realized, oh, by the way, I can dunk on these people.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I can dribble right past this guy and go up and lay up and he can't do anything about it. But he kept reverting back. He'd go back to taking that little floater, that little fadeaway, the jumper. I called him Idris Elbow because he loves that elbow jumper. But it is incredibly frustrating to see someone who has all the gifts and chooses to do what he did tonight.
That's the problem. That is the problem, Amin. He has all the gifts. He has the tools in his back pocket to do the taking over of the game and dominating at the rim. He just chooses to do the little floaters. And we see it from time to time again where Bam Adebayo has the ability to take over and he can't for whatever reason. And this is kind of the thing that Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra wanted to see, is him assert himself a little bit more at the rim. He's got the strength. He's got the assertiveness. He's got the ability. It's just he's not able to do it in the times that matters most. So for me, I mean.
Yeah.
Like, when Jokic goes to the bench, that's when they should be attacking the rim and just going all out. And they didn't tonight, and that's the problem. Yeah,
but even when they attacked the rim, they could – you know, let me tell you something. I don't know if you guys noticed this. The spacing was awful tonight. So many times, three guys standing right next to each other. So many times, two guys cutting into the same space. So many times, they turned it over in the paint because there's just guys there. And it was easy for the Nuggets to kind of just play an amoeba-like – you know, zone up in the paint, that frustrated and kind of made life harder for Jimmy Butler. And again, I mean, I've been saying this for three games now. Jimmy Butler routinely will get by his man and then turn back into, like, just go up. It's puzzling. But again, it's not puzzling. This was not a good offensive team for 84 games, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, we're almost like, oh, my God, Gabe Vincent can't make a shot. I was like, it's Gabe Vincent, man. Like, this is why, like, their story was so remarkable, because these were players who, for three rounds of basketball, were playing far above who they really are. And it feels like this is all massive regression to the mean.
It is. When you look at the box score, if I had told you that in game four, on the Heat floor at Kaseya, they had two players over 10 points in this game. Two players. Is Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler are the only players on the Miami Heat roster that scored more than 10 points in game four. That is unacceptable. For any Heat fan watching this game, Gabe Vincent, Caleb Martin, Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, you name it. The fact that they weren't able to get anyone to score over 10 points in this game and get any sort of supporting cast when Bruce Brown is doing what he's doing, Christian Brown doing what he's doing, Charlotte Wilder. What is Christian's last name? Let's hear it for one time. Get it right. Let's go. Let's get off on a good foot.
I know it's Christian Brown. I just really want it to be Christian Braun, and it makes me angry that it's not, so I say it anyway. It's a small subversion. I'm going to stop. No, I think you're right, Tom. All the Heat fans, you know, I think there was 2 minutes left. They just start filing out. I would be angry. It's sort of how I felt as a Celtics fan, where the team that was supposed to be good, though, that's the difference. Like, the Heat here had played, as Amin said, beyond their ability. So why do you guys think, like, why is it now? How did they keep it going for so long? And then why is it falling apart now?
I think we have to give credit to the Nuggets. They're defending, dude. They're executing. They're doing, oh, look who we got, Kyle. You done schmoozing?
Yes. Yes, yes. I don't want to be alarmist, okay? And I don't want to be journalistically unethical. they need to injure the giant.
What are you doing?
We've reached that stage in the proceedings.
Oh, no.
I'm not saying like the city of Miami should do that. Not like tire iron Jeff Galooly style. But I think the best chance, if they're going to beat you with Green threes and Gordon threes and Brown hunting Duncan Robinson, like if that's how they're going to beat you, you got to injure the giant.
Wait, how?
Zach Harper's joined the chat as well. So earlier I did radio with Eddie Johnson, and Eddie Johnson's suggestion was Udonis Haslem should play and should utilize all six fouls. And so this is, I feel like there's a critical.
Are you going to protect culture or not?
This is you're endorsing assault.
You're not going to protect it in Denver unless he's hurt. Did you see what happened? The greatest hope in the building was the 5 minutes he sat. The Giant had a terrible game. He never has a terrible game.
I'm terrified right now because the Jokic brothers are not that far from us, and Dan is screaming.
We care about you, Dan.
How about this? We're all going to have to enter the witness protections program. Also, love a Tonya Harding reference. Didn't see that coming. Thank you, Dan.
Galooly. How about this? Jokic brothers, not that tough. How about that?
Bad idea to do that.
Prove
and
it to us.
A crime. And also,
all we've heard is hearsay and stories.
But
not that tough.
To protect culture.
Can Dan hear us, or is he
cannot? He cannot hear you.
Me and Amin versus the Jokic brothers. No holds barred.
No, no.
Zach is saying. No holds barred. Zach is saying this from the comfort of his home in L.A. I am in the eye of the storm.
Whatever. I'll be there. Find me out.
What about me and Amin? We're right here.
Well, I mean, the key is you need a fighter next to Amin. So I think Charlotte can handle it. Amin's going to make his jokes.
And he has to carry an actual hotel towel to wipe his brow just like walking around.
Amin, ask Dan how much wine Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley are drinking right now. How much wine are they drinking?
Dan, the question from Tom is how much wine do you think Spo and Pat are drinking right now? Well, not now, but at some point tonight.
You think that they're going to quit? That they think the way that you guys think? No, they're going to die fighting and hiring hitmen and doing whatever it is that they have to do.
Is that fighting?
They're just going to let this happen, do you?
No, that's my point.
Like, kill culture on their home floor and then just be done with it? No, the last resort is violence.
No, when they were down to the Indiana Pacers 2-1 in the series and they had no Chris Bosh, they sat there and drank wine for hours. Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra sat there and drank wine, red wine. I don't know what kind of wine, but they were just shooting the shit, trying to figure out how they were going to find their way back into the series. Right now, it's a little different. It's 3-1 in the NBA Finals. And I don't know how they come back from this, but usually the recipe is Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley get very drunk and figure it out.
Tom, this is what I'm going to say. I was in Cleveland when Cleveland dropped game 4 in 2016. They were down 3-1. And I saw David Griffin in the back hallway. And I said, hey, man, like, you can't win them all. Yeah, you guys, you did it right. You were competitive, but. You ran into a juggernaut. You ran into the greatest team of all time. And Griff turned and looked at me and he said, our guys are pissed off. We think we should be up 3-1. I don't think that's what's happening.
I don't think that's happening.
Yeah. I guarantee Idris is not feeling that right now.
No. Yeah. No.
What kind of positives do you think you could take away if you're the Miami Heat?
All right. I got one here, Zach, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cody Zeller for the second night in a row.
What?
Beating the Heat in
the Zeller minutes. The Zeller minutes were clutch. The Zeller minutes were absolutely – they changed the game.
Can something be clutch if it's in the first and second quarter?
Absolutely. Because that was the last time he played. No, it was the second quarter because they were down big, and then they closed it, and they could have actually closed it to even smaller if Jimmy had made his free throws down there. Mm-hmm. But Zeller – this thing was very close to getting out of hand early. Zeller came in, and for whatever reason – he frustrated the Joker, and we got back into a game, and then the third quarter was messy.
I don't think you're frustrated.
No.
No, I don't think that's true.
Can you ask Dan what he prescribes the method of the giant going
He
down.
Said violence. I heard violence when I got on here.
So Tom wants specifics. What kind of violence?
Oh, now you're trying to get me in trouble. Like now, see, no, you're an instigator. You're an instigator. You're supposed to walk me back instead of making me double down. Like I'm, like I didn't, I said tire iron already. I already said tire iron. Like, what do you want me to do, upgrade the machete? How much did you guys geek out? I'm not going to be able to hear you, but I can imagine the three of you. I know that the heat got hit over the head, but watching Bam do that to Jamal Murray when I didn't think a human being could do that to Jamal Murray, sort of guard him in the open floor, and I was mesmerized by it. And I tell Mike Ryan, he's like, let him do it in Portland.
Yeah,
because you're frustrated with Bam too, right? You want more out of Bam, and I'm like, he's not as good as the guy he's playing against. But today, that guy wasn't very good either.
Right. He's done.
He made some big defensive plays. I thought that block could have been one of those ones that is in the DVD recap for the finals or whatever. But offensively, Dan, he just settles for those infuriating little shots. I call him Idris Elbow because he keeps taking that shot as opposed to the couple of times when he did put his head down and went straight to the rim and finished with great success. I just don't understand why he makes a decision most of the time to avoid contact, to try floaters, to try runners, as if Jokic isn't some dominant rim protector. He's not. We can see it. You can get him in foul trouble. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where you're looking at a bunch of turnovers. You're looking at awful spacing. You're looking at Gabe Vincent on a milk carton, Max Strus on a milk carton. You're looking at, ironically, Duncan Robinson making plays off the dribble. But they didn't get much else outside of Jimmy and, I guess, Bam through sheer volume. And Kyle Lowry. I thought Kyle Lowry played very well tonight. But the reality
is, don't give Bam that. No.
Bam was terrible. You know, he was terrible. He was. But I guess my point is this. This team was bottom five in offense for 82 games. None of this should be surprising that they're struggling to score points. And we're looking for some mystical reasons when the reality is they overachieved through three rounds of playoff basketball and they're playing against a team that doesn't make mistakes.
Easy to say now, right? Because after game two, that's not what we were saying.
That's like,
what you saw in the last two games is Jimmy hasn't been what Jimmy was, and Denver was going to live with all the Bam jumpers he wants to take. He could take all of them. They took away threes from them. They did. It wasn't like in the first game they missed all the threes. In the second one, this one was – I mean, Denver made – like, come on, man. Jokic is out. Murray's giving you nothing, and Gordon gives you 27, and Brown is hunting Duncan Robinson. Like, they got crushed by their role players today.
They got crushed by their role players. But again, the first two games, I thought Denver did not defend well, and the Heat missed a bunch of open shots in game one, and then they made those shots in game two. Games three and four, Denver said, you're not getting those shots anymore. They've been locked in. They've been executing amazingly defensively, and Miami is running into the problem of, yeah, we don't have enough talent to overcome this. The margin of error is now zero because the next loss they have ends the season.
I have a question for you, Dan. As a Heat fan, although as a journalist, I don't know if you can call yourself that, but if you were to be a Heat fan, how are you feeling right now? Is there still hope? Or because I was laughing if I were to have a team, the team that I had was eliminated. What you're smiling? What's going on emotionally?
It's a mask for sick despondence. Like they just lost. The season was lost. Two double digit games. People filing out. The energy of the building does not expect them to see come back here. Denver's going to be able to celebrate the championship on their floor because the Heat have been ground to dust by the number of ways that Denver can beat you, even on a night when Murray doesn't give you anything. And Jokic is like, if you can't beat them tonight, how are you going to beat them twice on their floor to win the series?
Yeah. Can you ask what did Stugatz think about the game tonight? Dan, you were sitting next to Stugatz for the entirety of the game.
Was he here? Was Stugatz here? No. Okay. Well, Tom, what the hell are you talking about?
That's my point.
What are you doing?
It's my point. There's a joke. There's a joke.
What's the joke? That Stugatz doesn't go to games?
Well, it's just, he was supposed to be here. I mean, people left the building, and I thought Stugatz would be one of those people. And
No. Yeah, I think that's way too much of a walk. By the way,
Stugatz hasn't been there since 2014. Like, it's not.
Shout out to Mike Fuentes. Can't believe that he got balled on by a guy who cried about a dunk contest for 3 years.
For three years? He still cried about it.
I mean, look, man, like, hey, when you're right, you're right, Mike.
I want to ask the question, Amin. If you make it to the finals and you're overachieving to the NBA finals,
yeah,
is everything just we're upset? We don't get we don't take this as a victory getting to the NBA finals, even if you lose in five.
Right.
Can you take the Miami Heat season as a victory, as a success, and feel like, you know what? We got to the NBA Finals. It's fine. We played a much better team, and it's no big deal. Or do you have to blow it up and say, trade everything for Damian Lillard?
Well, I think the idea is that this doesn't feel like something that could be replicable, right? It doesn't feel like, oh, we'll just bring it back and we'll do it again next year. This is a massive overachievement, and there is a talent issue. Now, we should point out Tyler Hero hasn't played a game. So that does make a difference. Right. I know, Zach. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Their problem is scoring points.
Yeah, they could have lost by seven.
No, I'm just saying they've been defending. They defended the Nuggets through three games better than anyone has the entire postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So their problem is they can't score. They don't have any offense. So Tyler Hero would make a difference. But
does that help on the defensive end? No. Like,
no. Well, it depends.
You give and take. Like,
it depends. It depends, right? Like, Duncan Robinson's out there. If you give Tyler Hero Duncan Robinson's minutes, are they that much worse defensively?
Duncan Robinson tries, right? Like, he's not good, but yeah. Tyler Hero's a space cadet out there on defense.
I just feel like there are people who play out there who aren't exactly like lighting the world
actually
up with their defense.
You know what? I change. I take that back. I'm with you. The Heat win the series if Tyler Hero is healthy. There that's where we're going, right? This is where we're going. Like, this is what we're going to do. This is the viral thing, right? Like, this is what we're going to do. Yeah.
They'd be up 3-1.
Let's workshop this.
They would have swept, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? No one knows. That's the thing. It's a shrug.
Underrated Raider. That is loser game show sound quality. Tyler Hero, more like Tyler. Hell no.
No, that's good. That's good stuff. Don't let him tell you otherwise.
People don't know what to do without our toe puns. They're grasping at straws for anything.
Yeah. Charlotte, can you, as our correspondent there on the scene, can you tell us any celebrities or anyone of note at the game tonight?
Yes, a lot of celebrities. We had Lil Wayne was here.
Okay.
Ooh,
Paul Pogba.
Calm down. Okay. Just calm down.
Okay.
He's really excited.
I know. I'm just going to say who was here.
Okay.
I'm going to see who was here.
Okay.
Chris Tucker was here.
Okay.
And he was seated next to none other Forrest Whitaker.
Cinephobe legend. That's it.
Can I just say Forrest Whitaker? Let's just say, like, this is a guy that is, if we had a Hall of Fame for acting your ass off, he's in the Hall of Fame, no?
He is. Yep. No, he is.
He is, yep.
And I also say.
No.
God, you're such an idiot. You're the biggest idiot I've ever known.
I didn't say anything. I'm asking if I could say it.
Don't do it.
No, don't do it.
Can't.
I don't know what you're going to say, but I feel like no.
Juju. Hey, Juju's right there. Hey.
Hey, Juju.
Juju, they want to say what's up.
Yeah, they want to say hi.
Ask Juju. Y'all don't see my boy. My boy's so icy tonight. So icy entertainment. My boy outside, man. You got to dig it, man. Yes, sir.
Banana polo.
Hey, man, the heat going. Hey, this is the last time this arena going to be open all year. So drink it in, ladies and gentlemen. This shit is over with, goddamn. See you in Denver, goddamn it.
FTX.
I go through Bruce's chest every time I see him. Put me on the post.
Boom.
You beat me. I'm out of here.
He's right behind us.
Salute.
He's yelling at him. He's right behind us. Oh, goddamn it, Juju. I think Juju's bets hit tonight.
Oh, right? Yeah. He bet on the Nuggets.
Did you hit? Did your parlay hit? Parlay didn't hit. Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, he needed 7.5 out of Caldwell Pope, and he only got 7.
Out of California Pizza Kitchen.
Yeah, out of CPK.
Yeah, that's right, Charlotte. Yep. Don't sleep on it.
I have a question for Charlotte.
Yep.
Does the way that this series has gone through four games make the Boston stuff hurt more?
I think so.
Yeah.
He said, "I have a question for Charlotte," and Tom starts answering. Good job.
Well, I'm in Charlotte, so I'm just predisposed.
Yeah, exactly. It's confusing. Charlotte Wilder or Charlotte, comma, the
Wilder.
City of?
Yeah, no, I meant Wilder, North Carolina. Yeah.
It sucks. Watching this, I kept having these visions of what it would look like if the Celtics were on the floor against the Nuggets. And after the way they played against the Heat, they didn't deserve to be here. But part of me was like, is it Joe's fault? Can I blame it on Joe? Like, could the players have been here otherwise? I think they just didn't show up.
Motivating movie than The Town that could have been there for the Celtics? Like, what would you have suggested of watching four times a week?
After they were down 3 to the Heat, I was like, Joe's got to scrap this Town garbage. He has to go home and watch Manchester by the Sea, the saddest Boston movie of all time, because that's how we all feel. He needs to get in the head of a fan and fix it.
That's real dark.
Oh my God. Manchester by the Sea?
That's dark.
Yeah.
It's a soul-sucking film. Hey, Jenna.
Isn't that the one with the other Affleck kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, make Amin know the name.
What's his name?
What's Ben's brother's name?
Affleck.
Affleck.
It starts with a... What is it, Amin? What is it?
Yeah, it's... Oh, he's going to Google it right now.
No. It starts with...
It starts with a...
It's like something with it. Like, it's a K, right? Like,
yeah.
Kyle?
Ooh, kind of.
You got it. You nailed it.
Soft K.
Zach's doing the TikTok guy. Hey, how many states are there in America? About 47? Yes. Yeah. We're joined now by Jenna Garcia. Jenna, you just came from the postgame pressers. What was Coach Malone talking about?
Oh, he just talked about the team playing really great defense and about how Nuggets in 5. Nuggets in five. Malone didn't say that, but I'm saying that right now. Thank you so much for showing me around the city of Miami. I will not probably be back because Nuggets in 5.
Wow.
This is what we do. We bring people in from all over the world to give us expert analysis. Like, hey, what did Coach say? He said Nuggets in 5. Well, he didn't actually say it. I said it. I'm not coming back. Shout out to DK, Jenna, go Nugs. That was a little too many G's.
Damn, Jenna
from Gundam JC. Up on Gundam style. DraftKings says, oh, snap. We got a lot of comments in the chat. Remember, if you're listening to this tomorrow, I guess, or the next couple of days, we do this live. There's a chat. We're interacting. Taylor Stone stuff up on the screen. I'm reading them out. I'm shouting you out. If you have a good toe pun. Juju, our man has some Red Octobers today, though, right? Toe Man today was wearing some Red Octobers. They look pretty
back.
Good. No, he didn't cut these, though.
You're not going to cut. Like, he's 20 grand right there. He's
got that courtside action tonight again. Wow.
Yeah. But this time, he not unmolested shoes, though. So that's really good. I want to ask.
Whoops, he's dead.
I want to go back to what Tom asked. Mo's here.
Oh,
send it over to Mo. Hill.
What's up?
Mo.
I heard the oops, and I thought, like, oh, we really doing this again?
Yeah. Shouts to KOC. Yeah.
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 Or as Charlotte calls him, OCK.
OCK. OKC.
Yes.
OKC. OKC. There you go. OKC.
Hey, Mo. Shaquille
O'Neal.
How did the Heat not able to capitalize on the non-Jokic minutes? What did the Denver Nuggets do there in the fourth quarter when Jokic went to the bench and the Heat were not able to basically close the gap when they had the Nuggets exposed?
Yeah, I think the one is just the fact that the Nuggets don't panic for the most part, even in these instances. They never really, throughout the entire playoffs, they haven't been that worried. And then I don't know what it was with the Heat, but I'm frustrated a little bit with just some of the shot selections that they were getting. The defense really tightened up in general. And I think, you know, there's one possession that sticks out in my mind where Bam Adebayo has KCP on him, takes one dribble, backs him down, and then goes to a fadeaway. I'm like, you can take a second dribble, Bam, and give him another bump, and you'll actually be right at the rim. And I think there's some of that stuff. Just what he doesn't do.
No, you just can't do it. He can't do that.
A lot of people would do
that. He, like, I'm Amin was on this early. Mike Ryan was on this early. I'm done with Bam. Get out of here.
Yeah. No, it's pretty frustrating. Mean,
the dude.
Fantastic regular season player.
Tom, how do you feel
about NBA Finals? He's in the NBA Finals. It's game four, and he got beat by Jokic, who's the best player on the planet. So what? Now
it's not.
But it was KCP. This is KCP.
You're done with a guy who is going toe to toe with Jokic, both ends of the floor. Levels.
It's not that he lost. It's the way he loses. Like losing to Jokic, there's nothing wrong with that. Just like Harden losing to the Warriors, there's nothing wrong with that. It's the way you do it. Bam has been soft.
He had 20 and 10 tonight. He's basically 20 and 10 the entire series. Fantastic. I'm not going to pin this on Bam Adebayo.
He had seven turnovers. Yeah.
I do feel like, though, other players have to step up, too. Like, it's not Bam out there by himself.
He's paid 30 a year.
It's not Bam's fault.
Doc Rivers is here.
Yeah.
I get to find Doc in the streets of Miami.
You're just right there.
These weren't like, oh, Denver made an incredible play to get this turnover. He's just giving the ball to the Nuggets.
Tom, you can watch it over and over again. They're switching smalls on him, and he's not really killing that.
And they know he won't.
Exactly. But it's even like there are times where he has Christian Brown on him and it doesn't matter. And he might make the shot. He might not, but it's a floater in the lane. It's not you're going to put a small guy on me. I'm going to run him over. And I think that's the frustration you get with Bam in these things. And his numbers are inflated. Like game one number, those are all shots the Nuggets would let him shoot. They'd be perfectly fine with.
I'm just saying the idea of Bam Adebayo has proven that he's not what tonight?
A good playoff player. No, he's amazing the regular season. All defense lock every year. Get to the playoffs.
I think that's a little strong, man.
I think he has problems. The thing that he needs to develop, I guess, is an ability to create easy shots for himself. And not when I mean easy shots, I don't mean like easy shots because no one's guarding me because I'm terrible at this shot. I'm talking about like getting those layups, getting to the front of the rim, get to the free throw line. Everything is a struggle for him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's problematic. I do want to ask Zach and Mo because you guys weren't here, I think, when I was talking about this earlier. I thought the Heat spacing tonight was horrendous.
Terrible.
So many times guys standing right next to each other, making it more congested, making it easier for the Nuggets defenders to get their hands in there and disrupt plays. First of all, do y'all agree? And second of all, like, why do you think that would happen for a team again that we know as an execution team most of all?
I agree with you in that sense. I think part of it was that's why the Nuggets were. It was so easy for them to send a second defender into all these actions, and every time somebody was looking to drive, there was always another defender right there. In that instance, I think part of it is like they try to run these Jimmy ISOs. And I think it becomes a situation where guys don't really know fully where to go. And this is a good Nuggets team in this sense. And oh gosh.
Is that the Mark Fox?
The Mark Fox. I think it just allows it to say like, hey, we could send a second guy because two of you are standing next to each other. It's easy for us to rotate to. I think it's just, you know, they get too bogged down, I think, and let's just have Jimmy go attack Murray in a matchup and whatnot. And I think it allows them to be able to kind of crowd the paint.
I don't want to take away
Bogdanovich.
I don't want to take away from what Denver did defensively tonight. I thought Denver in game three played awesome defense. I think tonight they were helped a ton by Miami just being constipated on offense. And some of that is what Denver's doing, but some of that was just bad spacing, bad decision-making, rushing through things for literally no reason, not because the defense allowed it to happen or force it to happen. Like Denver played good defense, but Miami's bad offense made it look like elite defense tonight.
I have a question for the group, and especially Amin, because at the beginning of this series, actually before even the postseason, I had asked you, what flaw did you see in this Denver Nuggets team? And do you remember what you told me?
No, he has no idea. He doesn't even remember you asking him.
You could have asked him seven.
Do you remember last night?
And you are?
Rachel Garcia, right? It's Rachel Garcia?
Rachel. You told me that your biggest fear with this team was Jamal Murray's decision-making going into the postseason. Yep. Today he racks up 12 assists.
fourth game in a row with 10 plus assists, and they scored an outrageous number of points off of the double team that he dragged over and was able to create so many great looks. What do you think about his decision making now?
Jenna just put the rook and the bishop right there. Checkmate on Jenna.
Yeah, we all
bishop to rook nine.
Yeah,
the only thing I know is what Tony says. Bishop to rook nine, which I Google one.
That probably isn't correct. Yeah, that
it's not a thing.
I don't know anything about chess. I'm not going to trust Tony on that one.
I don't know. I'm still
real hoopers.
I still trust
know, though. Real hoopers know. Real chess hoopers know.
Real chessers know.
Yeah.
No, he's played great. Like, he's played great. I thought game two, he got frustrated. They got him out of his game. I thought tonight he did a much better job of saying, I don't have it going, so I'm not going to force it. I'm going to be patient with it, take the shots I'm supposed to take. No, I know. He played great tonight. I don't know. I wouldn't say that I'm walking away saying, wow, that Jamal Murray, he's a lot different than what I thought he was. But he brought it tonight. And that's, to me, the most impressive thing of the series has been Denver's defense the last two games. I know what Zach said, and I kind of agree somewhat. Like, yeah, the Heat are making it easy by being bad offensively. Yeah. But I cannot take away from the fact that the Nuggets are doing everything right defensively. The first two games, they weren't. Even game one, they won, but they gave up a shit ton of open shots.
They got kind of lucky in game one, right? Like, in terms of, like, what they allowed. Yeah.
And they dodged the bullet. Shots,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then game two, those shots went in. Mm-hmm. Games three and four, they said, we're not giving up those shots anymore, and we're not giving up anything in the paint. And they imposed their will on this Miami Heat team. So that I didn't think that they could be that consistent, but
I would also add this. I think the hard blitz by Bam to force Jamal away is a terrible strategy.
Yeah.
Because Jamal isn't rushing into decisions. And so by the time he makes a pass, Bam's got 20, 25 feet to make up to get back into position. Otherwise, a tiny person is on Jokic. And there's just, like, I think that strategy has been a failure the last two games.
By the way, the other thing, real quick, Mo, the Nuggets have had a bunch of shitty three-point shooting nights. And we said this, Mo, we were talking about this yesterday. They're due at least one game when they're going to make everything.
Mm-hmm.
And for Miami, that game came tonight. And it would have been all right if you got a little bit going. But again, and I can't stop taking this victory lap, the margin for error for this team is incredibly small. They're not good enough to survive.
You could stop.
If you wanted to, you could. But I think there's a couple of things. Like, just talking about the offense, to Zach's point, what's made Miami's offense so good is a lot of times it just flows into the next action. One thing would go, it didn't work. Okay, stop. Let's figure it out and then run the next pick. Like, there was no rhythm to it at all. It was stop, go, stop, go. And I think that's what really hurt them on the offensive side of it. And then just Murray did such a phenomenal job stretching out the pick and roll. Mm-hmm. It really put them in impossible situations. Even and I don't think they have any answers, because there are times where they would switch and it'd be a small on Jokic. Somebody would come over. Aaron Gordon gets a lob over the top. You know, you double Murray. He stretches it out. It's a pass to Jokic, and then somebody else is cutting and it's a bucket. And it's just over and over and over again. I don't know if they have a good answer for how they're going to attack this Murray Jokic pick and roll.
Yeah. I wanted to ask that because, Zach, you made a great point about blitzing that and doubling basically Jamal Murray out 30 feet away from the floor.
It's too hard of a blitz, right? Like, it's too much. It's like an over exaggerated version that I just don't think is smart.
So to that point, like, they've scored 120 points per 100 possessions against every opponent they've had this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
We have the smartest minds in basketball who are trying to figure out how do we stop the Jokic, Jamal Murray. Mo DeKeel, you are smarter than everybody.
What?
We're done. End the show. We're done.
So what do you do? What do you do against the Jokic Murray pick and roll action?
Mo, before you got fired by Doc Rivers, what would you have suggested?
And how much career success has he had since then? Hey, he's not made it to the conference finals.
Doc, what would you do tonight? What would you do tonight, Doc? Doc, what would you do?
Let me just say, it was all Mo's fault.
It was all Bolt's fault.
Yes, yes, it was all my fault. No, I think you got to just try to. It's almost an impossible task, but you have to just constantly be mixing up your coverage. It can't be, okay, we're blitzing for the next four possessions. It's almost like we're blitzing one possession, we're hedging the next possession, we're going under, we're fighting over. Like, you just have to constantly be mixing it up, and that's not easy to do as a defense in general, like, all, because that requires everybody else to know what they're doing, and who everybody's help rotation changes based on your pick and roll coverage, and that becomes the challenge for them. This is also, like, these two guys have really kind of found their rhythm as a pick and roll duo for so long. They've been playing together forever. At this point, they're so comfortable with each other. They know what to do and how to flow. And now, you know, we haven't even gotten to stuff where Jokic starts flipping the screen and really kind of attacks, you know, allows Murray to attack and reject and things like that. Like, at this point, it's, I just think they're in an extremely difficult position for the Heat. I mean, I hate to agree with Jenna, but I think it's Nuggets in five.
Jeremy Davis here.
Jeremy, that's not okay.
Jimmy Butler turns into Tony Snell when defenders don't go for the pump fake.
That's not right.
That's,
yeah, I don't know.
I also think, though, we're talking a lot about Jokic and Murray, but tonight was really about so many other guys. It was the Aaron Gordon game. It was Bruce Brown. Jeff Green didn't suck. I think that...
Come on. He sucked until he hit that corner three. He was terrible.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Don't
do that. He did hit that corner three, though. Big shot.
He did hit that. We talked a lot about how the Heat didn't attack the Nuggets when Jokic was out, but also the Nuggets were doing Jokic stuff while Jokic was out. There were some amazing assists. They drove right to the rim. I don't know. I thought it was very impressive. And Jenna, as our resident Nuggets expert, Homer.
A resident Nugget. Okay.
Go ahead. What did you see from the other guys that maybe we hadn't seen in other games?
Taking care of the ball more than anything. And then obviously 3-for-4 from Aaron Gordon from three, big time to get that contribution. And then Bruce Brown just coming in the fourth quarter and dominating, having a great offensive attack, taking it to the rim and everything.
Also, Aaron Gordon with six assists tonight. Like, that
was dude, he was really good moving the ball. He was LeBron tonight.
I mean, if you really felt that way, you would have started from the top. Okay. You would have started from the top.
No, I think part of this is just the Heat have something they can do. But it takes, like, you know, we've
said, Tanya Harding,
six fouls.
Yeah, they have to injure. Look, if we can set this up where it's me and Amin versus the Jokic brothers, no holds barred, tomorrow or Sunday in Denver, I don't think the Nuggets win the series. I don't, like, look, it's just something that I believe.
I don't think you guys live to see the end of the series.
Hey, man,
I think Jenna and I might have a better chance.
I never lost a fight. I don't know about Amin, but. I'm like 100-0.
All right, I want to
hear fights.
I don't believe that at all. Shout out to Jericho. What happened to the role players for the Heat? What happened?
Pumpkins.
Tom?
They're pumpkins. That's what happened.
Look,
I thought Caleb played well. He was aggressive. He didn't shoot well, but
he at least played active and with intention and all that bullshit.
But this is exactly what the Boston Celtics fans have been waiting for, but secretly hating to watch, is that Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin and Duncan Robinson, et cetera, would turn into pumpkins in the finals.
Right.
It's no solace. Like, they're rooting for the Miami Heat to fail to make themselves look better, but inevitably it just makes them feel worse because they're still not in the finals.
Shout out to Goodell Kaiser for a blank comment, but $5. I'm gonna shout you out anyway, man.
Yeah.
Charlotte, as a Celtic fan, are you like, oh, what could have been, or are you like, why? Where was this before?
Yeah, I'm like, why fall apart now? I'm like, couldn't you have done it a few games earlier? No, but that's exactly right. I'm rooting for the Heat to lose because I don't want them to win. But also, it's embarrassing when they forget how to play basketball again, because then you realize that the Celtics lost to this team falling apart.
But Charlotte, isn't this year after year essentially the Celtics finals is waiting for the team that beat? I mean, since 1986, since they were good, is waiting for the team that beat them to like show a flaw in the finals. Like that seems to be kind of like Celtics culture now.
Yeah.
The answer, by the way, to Goodell Kaiser Sose here. Last time a team lost a home game during a gentleman's sweep was the Milwaukee Bucks. The opposite was the Milwaukee Bucks lost game two and the Heat won the rest of the games. I don't know if that counts. Wait, no.
When the Milwaukee Bucks didn't win a gentleman's sweep, gentleman's sweep is five. If you get a six, it's not a gentleman's sweep anymore.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So the Bucks could not have done that.
Shout out to Graydon Gordian.
Did he create that term?
Yeah, he did. Graydon Gordian. He came up with gentleman's sweep.
Because I know a lot of people have never heard of Graydon Gordian who use that term. So, like, that's pretty cool. Yeah, kind of like Patino game.
Yep.
How about that? Shout out to the Black Scion. Hold on. Let me just shout out. MPJ's defending Jimmy was an underrated part of the
Knicks
first half.
Knicks, Cavs, Knicks, sweat gentlemen sweep. They lost game two.
Why are
in
your
Cleveland.
Eyes closed? What happened?
He's really thinking. He's visualizing. Thing.
She leans over me and she goes, we're talking about the Heat. We're just talking about the Heat. And Michael Malone Jr. over here.
Yeah. Is Mike Malone having an okay time? Like, is he enjoying this because he doesn't get to use the bullshit? No one picks us. No one believes in us.
I'd like somebody to ask him a Laker question next press conference.
Yeah. What do you think they could do better against you guys? No. I saw Coach Malone yesterday in the hallway. He gave me a very nice embrace, and he said, "Why haven't we seen you?" And I said, "Man, you know, I'm working, man. I'm out here working." But
you lied to him.
I do want to bring up something very important, and I think this is inside information. I don't know. Maybe they mentioned it on the broadcast. Did they mention anything about pickleball on the broadcast?
I don't think so.
Okay. So the other day, Taylor and I walked Mike Breen from practice to the studio.
Me, Louie.
No, listen. So we walk him back, and he's like, "I'm sorry, guys, I'm walking a little slow." We said, "Why? What happened?" He said, "I ruptured my calf muscle playing pickleball."
Ruptured.
So he said, like, basically, he's never played pickleball before, and then, like, they went to play it, and as he's playing, you're getting a little better, getting the hang of it. So then he starts doing more, and it was too much. Because even though
Kevon Edwards here, just turning at a classroom setting and tearing his meniscus. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and he talks about his buddies, like this orthopedic surgeon, and how the number of Achilles and calf injuries have skyrocketed in the last three years because of pickleball. Because all these people who weren't doing these things.
Weekend Warriors who are trying to
anti-Smetty propaganda. This
no, watch, no, exactly. Watch this. Watch this.
So, every time someone's about to lie, they say watch this.
I haven't even given you the best part. The best part is I'm walking down the hallway at halftime, and I see Mark Jackson on crutches with a big boot. And I said, "Coach, what happened?" He said, "Pickleball." He tore his Achilles playing pickleball. And I said, "What is this menace of a sport? This destroying lower extremities."
So you think the Heat have been playing pickleball? Is that what you're saying?
They ought to start. Are they going to have all summer long to do that?
Their hope is Denver plays pickleball.
Yeah.
Denver picks up pickleball.
They got to tell Jokic, like, "Hey, it'll help the horses if you play pickleball. Let's do this."
The weirdest interview I ever did in 2020, when everyone was just like scraping the bottom of the barrel for what are we doing, I interviewed Scott Foster about playing pickleball in the bubble.
I read that.
Did you?
I did.
Thanks to me.
No injuries.
He said Quinn Snyder was a low-key amazing at pickleball, which I think makes sense.
I would Coach venture Malone to guess that Quinn Snyder has never lost any sort of like low exertion, any sort of skill game in his entire life.
He's great at playing the lines.
No, apparently he was like super intense. Wow. Scott Foster was like, it's a lot.
Logan Jacob says, "How many centers all time, not counting Bill Russell, are 100% better than Jokic? I count four." Before we answer that question, I just want to point out, Logan, Zach and I came up with a very easy way to handle these kind of all time this and all time that. Mm-hmm. Do you count so and so? Do you not count so and so? Zach, would you like to tell the people what the rule is?
Everything pre-ABA merger, we thank you for your service. We recognize your accomplishments. They don't count.
You don't count.
Yeah,
we're gonna put you in a box and put the box in the closet. Mm-hmm. And the closet is upstairs in that room that nobody goes.
We're doing
into.
Everything what post 77-78 season?
76-77. That was 76-77.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So that's the way to do this. So okay, now that we've set that ground rule, best centers all time.
Okay, Shaq.
Yes.
Hakeem.
Yes.
Are we counting Duncan? What, like, Duncan's, what are we doing?
Yeah, we'll count Duncan. Duncan.
Yeah, Duncan's a five, right? Yeah. Like, we got
a four. No, he's a four.
He's a five. No, it's, I mean, he's just being a schmuck.
A five, yes, he doesn't want, but okay.
Why? Because you want him in there?
No, I don't want him.
Because he's a San Antonio Spur. He's a Phoenix Sun. Like,
he's better than David Robinson. He's better than Ewing for sure. Yeah. I mean, that might be it. Might be three post
Kareem.
What?
Kareem. Well,
Kareem. I mean,
No, Kareem is post because he only played two seasons or so.
Yeah, and then had that.
Or five seasons.
Yeah, I would put Kareem's.
Then the Bucks got out Cinder.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Logan, you're going Kareem, Shaq, Hakeem, and.
And Duncan.
And Duncan. Are we throwing David Robinson in there?
No, he's better than David Robinson.
He's definitely better than David Robinson.
I'm with you.
Jenna, you seem I get a lot of kind of
vibes. This guy wasn't voted top 75 all time, by the way, just a few months ago.
But is
Giannis,
white,
you know? Giannis a center?
No, I don't think he's in this conversation.
Yeah, Giannis is a freak. Like, I don't, it's a different class of.
All right, well, if he was a center, would you put him above Jokic?
Is that the Victor Cruz says salute to Juju off on the side with the drip?
Victor?
You think
that does not
which
look
Victor
like
Cruz do you think it is?
I feel like there'd be more than one. I feel like there'd be more than one Victor Cruz.
No, there's only one Victor Cruz.
Okay, well that wasn't him.
A weird thing happened. They brought Chris Tucker out onto the court, and J. Cole has a song called Chris Tucker, and J. Cole is Caleb Martin's guy. So it all came full circle tonight.
Wait, yeah, didn't help the heat at all though.
No, so. That's that was, not at all.
Chris Tucker's an interesting circle, but we got there.
Oh no! Okay, so this is the other thing, and this is why you listen to
that sound that just came out of your mouth. Yeah, what was that?
Because I just want to get it out before you guys. Oh, well, that doesn't sound right. So this is the thing that I'm almost fairly sure did not make it to the broadcast during a timeout. Jason Jackson interviewed Conor McGregor at center court as he's selling
the video.
Bernie.
I saw the video on the internet, not on broadcast.
And then the crowd started booing loud. That was probably one of the loudest times they were at all night long. Was booing Conor McGregor. I don't know what he was. What was he selling? Does anyone know?
He has like a whiskey or something. Yeah.
Irish whiskey.
No, didn't he sell it? I thought
it wasn't. It wasn't
proper, Shelby Unlimited.
It wasn't proper number 12. It's something called Tidal, but not Tidal, the music streaming thing. Another Tidal.
It looked like body wash.
No way.
Oh, he was holding up a little bottle, and in my head, I feel like he smells like shit.
That could be an airplane shooter. That might not be.
Taylor tells us it's a cryotherapy spray.
Oh, so it's a scam. Okay.
Lopez does have a good question here. It's getting late. It's what, 12:14 a.m.
It's early.
What happened to the lady on the stretcher? Does anyone have an update on that?
Oh, good question.
That's a good question.
So for those that missed this part, like they were checking the rim to make sure that after Bam hung on it like a jackass, that it hadn't, it wasn't misleveled or whatever. So while this is happening, there's like a hubbub over towards the Heat bench. Hubbub and all the players and everybody was standing up and staring, and there's a stretcher that comes out and there's a lady on the stretcher, and we were like, what's going on? And as we zoomed in on her, you could see that she was putting her hand on her face because she didn't want people to see. Now Juju was filming it, but then he made the executive decision he would not post it.
Let me tell you something.
Tell me something.
The ABC broadcast did not have the same discretion that Juju.
No, we saw
they
her.
Zoomed carry, that way they put her in up on there? Her, and they just like were like, we're watching this very closely.
Yeah. She looked like on the ABC broadcast. Hopefully, she's okay, but she looked like that scene in Curb where like Larry David pretends to faint. You know, like that's kind of what she looked like, and then all of a sudden you just see the stretcher just like zooming through the court.
Do you remember what that was about, the Larry Fate?
I know it's one of the funniest things. I know it was with – was that the same episode where the temperature in the room was like 80-something? Was that the same episode?
I might have been, but I know what the faint was about. This is when Vivica Fox gets cancer.
Oh, that's
right. And Larry – like, and they say because of that they're going to move out, and Larry is trying to pretend like –
he's off
moved emotionally by this, so he faints and they have to catch him. It's one of my favorite episodes ever. Oh my god.
Central Cologne had an update
on the woman. He said he wished her well and that he hopes she's a Nuggets fan.
And Nuggets in five.
Jenna's here just to provide pictures. She sat through all the press conferences, comes out here, makes it all up. Shout out to Bipo Cosmonaut. I mean, did you toe the line on American Ninja? That was last game. No more toe jokes. The guy had Red Octobers on today.
Jenna is a menace tonight, and I am here for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just tonight? Well, the whole series.
Mo, we barely became friends. You don't even know.
I don't have friends. Zach knows
that's
this.
That's true. Yeah, Mo doesn't have friends. I don't have friends. Yeah.
This is why.
I'm the closest thing, and we're not friends. So
we're not friends.
I'm so sorry.
Nah, he earned it.
No, I'm fine.
My favorite thing about Mo's relationship with Zach is the number of bad movies they've gone to see in person together.
Hold on, but we saw Crawl, and Crawl was a fucking banger.
Absolute banger.
That was a credential. Banger.
Credential off, Jer Bear. Absolutely joined by the one amazing. And only Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, let's get some propaganda going. Yeah.
Oh, Heat propaganda versus Nuggets propaganda.
He posted a video.
Look at the security guard who just showed up here.
Of Duncan Robinson game and said, Duncan
Knight. A little watery. Are you okay, Jeremy?
12 points.
How was that, L?
Can't be Heat and seven without three Nuggets wins. That's all I'll say.
So would you say the Heat have the Nuggets right where they want them?
Good question. Don't let us get one.
Oh,
Marcus, no, Matt told you, don't let him get one. Don't let him get one. Celtics in seven, baby.
Oh, God, Charlotte.
Celtics in nine. Celtics are waiting for game 10 to start.
I think Charlotte mentioned on Twitter that she went away from the used bookstore owner into kindergarten teacher you see at a restaurant. Like,
hold on.
Oh, don't do that.
No, he's talking about Charlotte.
We're
talking about Charlotte.
Don't do that to yourself, Charlotte.
But DraftKings has just come up with, are they raising babies in the air right now?
Hoisting
was the word, DK.
It's hoisting. Get it right. If you're going to troll me, at least get it right, DK.
Wow.
What are we doing?
Yo, don't bite the hand that feeds you, man.
Yeah, so DraftKings. Right, hey, what are you doing?
DraftKings. Well, good. He's lashing out right now.
And the other hand's
love you, DraftKings. Yeah. Thanks for everything.
I think he's meekly coming back and apologizing.
What am I supposed to do? Oh, God, I spit on Amin.
Oh, no. He deserved that. No, no, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it hit my lip.
It's like
Jamie Foxx. We'll end it on this. Jamie Foxx has a stand up where he talks about being in Any Given Sunday and getting in a fight with LL Cool J. Getting in a fight with LL Cool J, but also acting across from Al Pacino. Mm. And he said, you know, Al Pacino is like super intense. So he says he's doing the scene and he says, and you'll do as you're fucking told. And he said he spit. And the spit landed on my lip. And then he spends the rest of like the bit just staring at his lip like that. That spit literally landed right smack dab right here. Jer Bear's lucky.
Okay.
Spitty.
Jer Bear's lucky that I am not a super hypochondriac like Juju.
No, Amin welcomes all kinds of diseases.
Oh, no, because I'm immune.
He's Amin.
The cure is inside me.
Well, it was just penicillin, yeah.
You ever seen The Last of Us? That's Amin.
Oh, man. This has been a real joy, fellas.
Can we get everybody to shut on Amin now?
Please be more genuine, Charlotte. Thank you.
So, Taylor, is this recorded on an SD card on this? No, so we're going to have to rip it from the thing?
Jesus, Jason.
I want to slow down.
We're trying to end the show, Jason. Thank you. No, he spent $2 on that question. Do we have to raise it?
What was the question?
It's
no, inappropriate.
Think about some of the other stuff that's happened with spinning.
Mountain Dew Code Red. That's the punchline right there.
All right, so Nuggets in five. I said seven before this game. I'm feeling very very not great about that pick, but the Heat did not shoot well in this game. They didn't have an answer for the non-Jokic minutes. My point is, maybe they should start Cody Zeller instead of Bam.
Zach?
I still have Heat and six.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not moving off that. Yeah, Heat and six. I don't know how they do it, but that's Heat culture,
Scott
baby.
Scott Foster, get him in. Yeah.
Scott Foster and Tony Brothers.
What, Mo?
Nuggets and five.
Charlotte?
No, you.
Oh, okay. No, well, I'm the last one because I'm hosting the thing. So.
Celtics in seven.
Oh, you're hosting patriarchy.
Celtics in seven.
Celtics in seven. All right, Heat in five.
Ben on Nuggets in five. You already know.
I still got Nuggets in six. I think we're going to have to get on another plane after this. Like, we're going to go to Denver, and they're going to win. Because this is what they do. This is
They're going to be the only team in the playoffs to have beaten the Nuggets in the, on the road or at home twice.
Yeah, well, I mean,
no, nobody else, nobody's beat them before.
Nobody beat them at all, yeah. So,
and then, you
know. Wait, the Timberwolves didn't do it?
Yeah, I know. It's surprising.
That's shocking.
Rudy Gobert did not do it.
Low-key hater, Zach.
What?
And I'm not
a
hater.
How am I a hater?
You are a hater.
I picked the Nuggets in every round of the playoffs. Also, Amin owes me a steak in Arkansas.
No.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get to the bottom of this.
We're going
to
take the Nuggets.
Thank you, Dan Levitard. Thank you, Taylor. Thank you, Juju. Thank you, Jenna. Thank you, Charlotte Wilder.
Wait, Taylor, do not shut this off. Taylor, don't shut this off. Taylor, do not do it.
This other guy. We'll see you guys after Zach, game five on Monday night in Denver.
When he finishes talking, you can explain what's happened. Thank you, Taylor.
Oh, Taylor's rolling in.
I'll tell you right now. Amin made a bet that he all of a sudden does not want to – like, we're supposed to go to Arkansas.
Yep.
And
what were the stakes?
What was the bet? What were the stakes?
The stakes were a stake for if the Nuggets and Lakers face in the playoffs. I said they weren't going to – like, the Lakers might not even get a game. But they certainly weren't going to get two games. And he said, oh, they'll go at least six or seven.
Wow.
Yeah. So we have to go to Arkansas.
And then what happened?
They got swept.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One more time?
Swept.
So have you picked out the steakhouse? Like, what's the next plan?
I'm sure there's so many options.
Austin Reeves here. Just trying to figure this
sloppy
out.
Sloppy steaks. That's what we're going to do.
Does Cracker Barrel still
switch? Hair push way back. It's like way back.
Taylor, carry us out.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.